With me to the book of Genesis chapter 7. I'd like to just read the first six verses and then we'll have a word of prayer and then we'll consider those verses for a few minutes. Genesis chapter 7. And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, the male and his female, and of beasts that are not clean by two, the male and his female. Of fowls also of the air by sevens, the male and the female, to keep seed alive upon the face of all the earth. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come before you this evening, we're thankful that we can read, that we have a heart to read, a heart to be here, a heart to hear, a heart to assemble. I pray that you would bless our time together. I pray you'd bless the gospel to our understanding, to our hearts. Lord, I ask that you'd forgive us for Christ's sake. These things we ask in his name. Amen. Now the Lord, as we've been studying, has revealed to Noah that he was going to destroy all flesh upon this earth by a flood. And in mercy, he instructed Noah to build an ark that Noah and his family and every type animal creeping thing might be left alive. God Almighty created everything that is in existence. He created it in the beginning, and it's all for the sustaining of this earth, God's people. There's a reason. And now the Lord, according to his long suffering, after telling Noah that, he gave man 120 years before judgment was going to come. 120 years that men might behold the construction of salvation from the flood. Now, in those 120 years, obviously, men grew harder and harder against God's word, God's promise to destroy everything that was not found in the ark. They heard what Noah was preaching. He was a preacher of righteousness. But the scripture says that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, saying, Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Men then were like men right now. There's no change in the carnal heart. And the scoffing at the revelation of God's judgment, 120 years of apparent lack of change, as far as they could tell. There wasn't any change as far as their environment was concerned. The seasons were all the same. 24 hours in a day, same, and all it did was make them grow more and more falsely secure in their unbelief. Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. God told Noah, You build an ark, I'm going to give you 120 years to build it. And they watched, and they watched, and they watched. And the scripture says, like this verse right here, 2 Peter 3:5 says, "For this they are willingly ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished." Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back in judgment. He's coming back. I'm telling all of us exactly what Noah told them. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. I know what the carnal heart says. Not today. I hadn't really seen any real change myself. Everything apparently to me is as it was for all these many years I've been here. Now, we find ourselves at the end of the 120 years now, starting in verse 7. 120 years has passed. And now we behold Noah, a vessel of God's mercy and grace, but also a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ being instructed. Noah's being instructed now, but he's a picture of every vessel of God's mercy. But also he's a picture of Christ himself. Now listen to the blessed word of Jehovah from who obviously was in the ark. Verse 1, "And the Lord," all caps, "Jehovah," God was in Christ. That ark is a picture of the Lord Jesus. God was in Christ. "The Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Now I'm telling you, that verse of scripture, when you consider those words speaking to Noah, Jehovah speaking to Noah, and Noah being a picture of the Lord Jesus, the ark's a picture of the Lord Jesus, Noah's a picture of the Lord Jesus, and listen to this, "Come thou and all thy house," who's that? All God's sheep, the bride, the elect, chosen. "You come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." God in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. He doesn't say go into the ark, he says come. How tender, how compassionate our Lord speaks to his people in the hour of our need. The Lord Jesus tells his own, he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and listen to this, I will give you rest." I will. Come to me. And a believer, he reads that and says, "Lord, I come. I come." How does a believer come? And he comes in his heart. I told you that you can't explain this to somebody unless the Spirit of God reveals it to them. You come to the Lord. Someone will say, "Well, I don't understand that." Well, if he ever gives your heart to, you will. I don't see what you're seeing. Well, if he ever gives your eyes to, you will. I don't hear what you're hearing here. If he ever gives you ears, you'll hear it. You'll hear. "My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me." Now here the Spirit of God also in the Scriptures speaks to needy sinners in Revelation 22:7 about coming. Come. Come. And I said, when a believer hears that, he does. He said, "Lord, I want to come. I just can't explain." I mean, is he, in my mind's eye, and I'm just fickle. I'm just fickle. But I just can't help but picture, you know, he's seated at the right hand of the glory of God. Well, all I can do, Mitch, is think in that thinking, you know, and I don't try to form a picture. It's just there. When he says, "I'm in the midst of you," I don't know how to say it, but I believe he's here. He's in our hearts, but the Spirit and the bride says, "Come." And let everyone that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. We hear his voice. His spirit calls and we follow. We hear because we hear. We can hear. And we come and we take the water of life freely because we thirst. I want to hear. Tell me right now. I want to hear what I'm saying. I want to hear it. I want to say it and I want to hear it. Now, considering Noah as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, here the Lord God speaking to his glorious servant, and all those found in him for the foundation were, come thou and all thy house, for thee have I seen righteous before me, Christ. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Every one of God's sheep being found in Christ are righteous in him. Being found in him, robed in his righteousness. But considering Noah as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, only Noah was found righteous in him. But as a picture of Christ, only Christ is found righteous. So here's the vessels of God's mercy. They're going to find safety. They're going to find deliverance in the ark that was absolutely purposed and provided by Almighty God. That ark that he gave instruction 120 years ago in chapter 6 when we were looking at it. You build it this big, or this tall, or this wide. And you put these compartments in. You put these nests in it. You put these rooms in it. Everything that was going to be in there. There was no afterthought on God's part. The Lord determined the design, the size, the capacity, just as he purposed the salvation of every one of his elect according to his good pleasure. I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house are many mansions. I don't even know how to think about that. I don't get it. I get it and I don't get it. In my Father's house are many mansions, many dwelling places. And he says, if it wasn't so, I would have told you. I would tell you that. I'd go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. So here's the people of God. Noah, a man that found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he's built an ark, 120 years. And now it's ready. And this ark, a type of the Lord Jesus Christ set forth prophetically as the only safety of God's people in Isaiah 26:20. Listen to this. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation be overpassed. Verse 2 and 3. Then he tells Noah, of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens. Every clean one by sevens. Seven male and female. Seven males and seven females. Of the beasts that are not clean by two. Male and female. Fowls also of the air by sevens, male and female, to keep seed alive on the face of the earth. Now, here we see Noah instructed as to taking of the different animals. He had some clean ones and some unclean ones. And the wording that the Lord used concerning the obtaining of all of these animals was, take to thee. Take to thee. It means to accept, to bring, to draw, to fetch. But a word that reveals how the Lord providentially caused the animals to come was found, I brought this out last week, in verse 20 of chapter 6. Look there. Of fowls after their kind, of cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee, to keep them alive. So these animals are powerfully drawn by the power of God. You think God Almighty that can speak this world into existence and call a dead vessel of his mercy, just dead lump of clay, can impart life to him and cause him to come to him and keep him by the power of God. You think God can't cause an animal to walk into an ark? He said they'll come to you. That which the Lord purposed and instructed, the Lord accomplished. The Lord did this. The Lord caused them. So we see the wisdom of Almighty God in the preservation of man and beast, and a remnant, according to the election of grace, was found in the preservation of Noah and his family, and a preservation of clean and unclean animals, all according to God's wise decree, was seen. I did it again today. I told you about the mosquitoes. Like I said, being from Louisiana, they're pesky. But I found out again today, I remember what I read. Without the mosquitoes, pollination. I thought only bees did that. Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes, number one, they're for food, birds and things like that. Pollination. I looked up slugs and turtles and things like that. Sea turtles. That keeps the population of sponge and jellyfish down. Who would know that? God Almighty, he all these things, they work together for good, perfect balance. So there were clean and unclean. You know, the unclean animals, the eagles, the snakes and things like that. There was purpose. So there was to be seven pair of the clean, two, a pair of the unclean. Now, and here's that clean, the Lord would provide of the clean animals, surely for food and for sacrifice, and of the unclean, he'd preserve all according to his wise and good purpose that would be for the maintenance and perfect balance of nature. And so we don't see. We don't understand. We may not grasp the need of certain creatures. We see them. They're often pest to us. But they're absolutely necessary in the maintenance of mankind. And when the Lord had created the earth and all that things that were therein, he saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So whatever we think, this world is in perfect order. I mean, we may look around and complain about the government and everything, but I tell you what, Almighty God's got everything under control. And it's all working together. So yeah, verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, here we observe the final warning of God. The Lord has set forth that in 7 days, many people do a lot of looking into the numbers. I don't do a lot, but I do know that the number seven, I found that is the number of completeness. But 7 days, and he's going to cause it, the rain was going to start falling. So everything comes about as a direct result of the hand of God, who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. 7 days, it's appointed unto man once to die. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time for every season under the sun. God has a time, it's purposed. I can tell you exactly when you're going to die and I'm going to die. When God determines that end, which is already determined, when he gets here, there is not one thing that I'm going to be able to do. I'm going to try to eat as healthy as I can. I'll try. I'll try to walk. I'll do everything I can do. I'm going to try everything I know to do. But I can tell you when I'm going to die. When God determines I'm going to die. That's it, right there. So here we are. He says in 7 days, it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights. And everything outside of the ark is going to perish. Again, you know the picture of the ark. So here we find another number, 40, written in the scriptures. That number appears to have been regarded as a symbolic period of trial. I looked this up. It's an ending, a trial that is ending in victory to the good or the ruin. The good of God's sheep or the ruin of the evil. 40 days. 40. 40 days, 40 nights. Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. That number was 40 years. The men sent to scout out the land of Canaan were there 40 days. That's according to Numbers 13:26. Moses was in the mount 40 days. Exodus 24:18. And the Lord Jesus Christ fasted for 40 days, Matthew 4:2, before being tempted of the devil. So 40 is that time of testing, of proving. And so the Lord said, in 7 days, it's going to rain. I'm going to cause it to rain. Never had rain before. But it's going to rain for 40 days and 40 nights, and everything found on the face of the earth, I'm going to destroy. And so now the Lord has promised it's going to rain. And there's going to be complete destruction according to his exact timing. And the scripture says, and Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Now here was a man that believed God. Noah was a righteous man. He believed God. He believed that God was going to do exactly what he said he would do. And God's people do now. We believe him. I believe him. I believe that Almighty God chose a people. I believe he did. I believe he chose me. I believe. Why do you believe that? Because I believe him. He that believeth on the Son. He that believeth him. I believe he did. I believe when the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, I believe that he was made sin. I believe that. I believe that Almighty God put away the debt of his people in Christ upon the cross. I believe it was finished. I believe it. I believe he's coming back. The times and the seasons, I don't know. But I believe that there's coming a time when the trump of God is going to sound. I believe that the dead in Christ are actually going to come out of the ground. I believe that they're going to be changed. In a twinkling, in a moment, twinkling of an eye. And that we that remain on this earth are going to meet him in the air. I believe that. And I believe that so will we ever be with the Lord. I believe that. I believe every man, woman, child that's ever died, they're going to come out of the ground. And immediately there's going to be a judgment. We're going to all stand before God. I believe him. I believe him. I believe it's going to happen. I pray that the Lord increase my faith. But I believe him. I believe him. The scripture says Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. He believed that God was going to send a flood. He believed that there was safety only in the ark. Built that ark 120 years. And so he acted. He did it. He said, the Lord said, you come into the ark. And Noah did it. He got in there. He said, okay, it's time. Let's go. By faith, this is Hebrews 11:7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. But in Noah, again, do we not behold the glorious Lord Jesus Christ in his obedience. Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And the Lord God said, Lord Jesus, John 4:34, my meat, my food, my sustenance, my nutrition is to do the will of him that sent me. And concerning his obedience to the Father, John 8:29, for I do always those things that please him. He declared in John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And at the cross, he cried in the completion of his ministry, it's finished, John 19:30. So Noah, by faith, he left all that would be found in this earth. He left it, everything that was there. The only thing that came in was Noah and his wife, those animals, the sons of Noah and his wife, their wives, and the food that was in there was it. And God was there. And God delivered them. And he left all, and he relied upon the Lord for all of his need. And he knew that all of his need was security in that ark. That's what I need. I need to be protected from the flood. I need protection from the rain. All those years. 120 years. And verse 6 said, and Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. I read that last verse of scripture. I thought about, here was a man 600 years old. And all the things that could be said about Noah, the one thing that stands true is the faithfulness of God to keep him. To keep him. He was 600 years old. And while his years increased, he was a man that was kept by the power of God through faith, ready to be revealed in the last time. There's going to come a time when Noah's going to come out of the grave just like we will, and every other believer that died in the faith, and Noah's going to be standing before God just like all of us. Noah will be there. And Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all of them, Moses, will all be standing there. 600 years, and from the time that the Lord was pleased to call him out of darkness, he believed God concerning his word. He believed God showed mercy to him. He believed God was going to send judgment, and he relied upon the Lord for deliverance. But that faith in Christ, that gift from God, that God-given dignity of God's grace to the aged. I thought about this verse of scripture right here. I look around right now. Now, many of you have been here a lot longer than I have. And I've been here a little over 18 years, or a little less than 18 years, almost 18 years. And I look at, some were here when I got here, some have come since I've gotten here, but the thing about it is, so many here that were here when I got here, you're still here. You're still here. You've gotten older. But to behold you, and I behold the preciousness of God's word. He said, I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. We've gotten older. Gray-headed. I thought about this scripture. The hoary head, gray head, is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. All of us, unless the Lord takes us, all of us are going to get older, older, older. And our hair will turn gray. But that the gray hair is an emblem of the faithfulness of Almighty God. Those of you that are here, that have been here all these years, I thank God for you. Thank the Lord's kept you. I'm thankful he's kept me. But for his grace, I wouldn't have been kept, believe me. I'd left. But we're here by the grace of God. 600 years old. And God was pleased to keep him all that. I pray God bless this to our hearts, to his glory. Amen.